Hello, listeners. My name is Christopher Lopez, and I'll be your host for a brand new podcast that the StarCraft Observer is releasing. You may have seen the StarCraft Observer on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram posting various types of StarCraft-related content, from beautiful works of fan art of our favorite StarCraft heroes to beautiful crafted objects such as 3D-printed battle cruisers, handcrafted miniature reavers, and keyboard caps in the form of a probe or a dark shrine. Those are just a few of the beautiful and crazy creations that I come across each day. Each day with someone creating something unseen or unheard. And this got me thinking about these wonderful creators. Why haven't I heard their story? So this is what I'm trying to change and attempting to do. Creating a podcast where we just don't talk about the community, but rather to the community. Over the course of this podcast, we'll be bringing you audio stories about the amazing, talented, and gifted individuals within the StarCraft community, which includes you, the very person listening to this podcast. Thank you. Now, unfortunately, we at the StarCraft Observer have faced a lot of delays due to a lot of personal reasons. Life is just too unpredictable these days. And this podcast has been in the making for about a year now, and our season's not quite ready, so sorry. But today, we'll be showcasing a segment that we're not quite sure what to call yet, and we'll basically be asking the StarCraft community a question, and if they're up for a short interview. Not only will they get to share their response, but we also get to know them a bit. Think of it like opening up the phone lines and having people call in. Well, we did this last month. We asked the community its very first question. Why do you love StarCraft? All right, enough rambling, let's just get straight into the interviews. And just a warning, there's a bit of mild swearing throughout this episode, so if you have kids around, you may want to listen at a later time. Hello there.
Hello?
Hi, Seb.
Hey, can you hear me clear?
Yeah, you sound really, really good. Before we get into it, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Sebastian. I currently live here in West Point, New York, and I've been a gamer for a really long time.
And how did you first hear about StarCraft?
So I play a lot of games, and real-time strategy games are the very first type of games that I got hooked. I remember playing this game called I don't know if it got popular in the U.S., but it's called Battle Realms. It's like an RTS game as well, where you collect rice and water for resources. After that, I played Warcraft 3. So I got really hooked into Warcraft 3. So I decided to check out some of the other Blizzard games. That's where I stumbled upon the first StarCraft game.
Right. So you had the RTS bug way before like StarCraft.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah.
But I remember about much about the first game. I remember only playing through the campaign and a couple of custom games with the AI. And I didn't really get into it until I started playing StarCraft 2.
And what was it about StarCraft that appealed to you?
So, like I said, I like strategy. And also, I like space, you know, futuristic stuff, space. Have you played Mass Effect?
Yeah. So that whole universe of being in space and the action,
right,
and then like for it to be an RTS is like, whoa, it has all the things that I love about a game in one.
Yeah, it makes you think like, could this really be what happens in the future? Like if we really meet aliens, is it going to be like this?
Yeah. Is that what you hope for one day? Like for us to be like in space and like for this to be like a real thing?
Well, I feel like humanity should be really focused on, you know, space exploration, you know, gathering all the funding, because the Earth is not going to last long, you know. All the stars in the universe don't last forever, you know.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
So, a million years ahead, the sun's eventually going to die. So eventually you're going to have to find a way to, you know, to move out, or I guess we die.
No. We just got to move out. I think that's it. So the reason why you love this game so much is because it has all your favorite elements and you love RTS. Where were you when you first heard about StarCraft 2?
I was still in the Philippines at that time, but I didn't really get to play it. I only got to watch it because at that time you'd have to pay for it. And I didn't get a job until I got here in the US. And the first time I played StarCraft 2 myself was back in, I think it was 2017, while I was still in Texas for my training in the military.
And what's your favorite part about this game, StarCraft 2, that is?
I really like how it's so balanced, you know. Even though, you know, there's a little bit of salt of the other race. I play Terran. It's very micro-intensive, but I really like the how they look, you know, Space Marines.
Do you feel like a connection with the Space Marines?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know?
And is that because of your background, too?
Yeah. I wonder if that's going to come up with the upcoming, you know, U.S. Space Force and shit.
I'll be on the lookout for you, man. You're going to be the first Space Marine, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for talking to me, man. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you.
All right, bye. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Glenn. How's it going?
Not too bad. How are you?
Doing well. So where are you calling from?
I am calling from Maine.
How did you first encounter StarCraft?
So I started playing World of Warcraft first. I played, I think it was World of the Draenor, and I saw StarCraft on sale. I think it was like 40% off or something like that. And I said, you know what? I'll give it a try. Started playing it. I didn't understand a damn thing. I hopped right into multiplayer. I didn't take the time to like learn anything before actually having a knowledge of what the units could do in like campaign or how the game works in campaign. I just kind of hopped in completely new to the genre of game, and I put it down for 2 years after that one day.
You're just like completely traumatized. Like, there's too much going on.
Oh, yeah. It was god awful.
So when you came back, what race did you choose?
I chose Zerg.
What was it about the game that just like drew you back?
Yeah, it reminded me of playing with my little army men as a kid. Actually, it kind of reminded me a lot of Terran, even though I don't really play Terran or understand it. You know, trying to like imagining each one was an actual character and having each army man go from point A to point B. I set up Lincoln Logs and my Legos and things like that, and it always captured my imagination. If there's a game like that where I could like take every unit that I wanted, have them go to point A, point B, point C, have them rally here, there, things like that. And I didn't understand that as a kid. And I didn't know that until, unfortunately, in my late teens, 18, 19 years old. So.
And you decided Zerg instead of the Terran race.
Yeah.
Huh. Why was that?
I think Zerg just felt more natural. I like the appeal of Terran. I do play it every once in a while, but I can't wrap my head around Terran at all. But Zerg kind of felt more fluent, more natural, and I started to understand it a little bit better just because I had someone teaching me, literally standing over my shoulder telling me, hey, put this down, put that down, you'll be better off prepared for this or that, and things like that. So it helped out a lot in that sense, and it made me kind of push more towards playing Zerg.
That's so cool. And what was it about when you encountered StarCraft, what was it that appealed to you about it?
Dude, it's a gorgeous game. I'm extremely competitive just from high school sports. I've never lost my need to compete. It's not an I want to win, it's an I have to win. And StarCraft gives me that it's me or you feeling that you really only get in a 1v1 in like Call of Duty or something like that.
Right.
It's always 1v1 when you're playing ranked.
Yeah.
It's you don't have to rely on anyone but yourself on making mistakes.
Wait, are you playing right now?
I'm currently not. I'm on CS:GO.
Oh, wow. So you're playing CS:GO and you're doing this interview? That's cool. How do you do that?
I multitask kind of well sometimes in the talking sense in first-person shooters. I used to play a lot of Call of Duty way back when. Way too much time locked when I had no family, no time.
And is that why you like StarCraft too? Because it's like multitasking to the max?
Yes. It keeps me focused in Call of Duty. The only thing that I felt would hold me back was if I wasn't staying hydrated, wasn't drinking enough water. That's the only thing. If I didn't have a bottle of water next to me all the time, I was going to lose a game or lose a round, something like that. But in StarCraft, I can be hungry, I can be thirsty, but there's nothing better than the hunger for someone else's ladder points.
I love it. Oh. Is there anybody that you'd love to give a shout out to?
My buddy Sebastian Darling was the one that was coaching me, actually, back to get the gold. He kind of got me into it, kept telling me I'm an idiot for doing this and an idiot for doing that, and I'm sticking to his guns and how stupid I'm being. So that definitely helped put a foot up my butt to keep working on getting better.
Thank you for doing this interview, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, nice to meet you, man.
All right, nice to meet you, too.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye. Next, we have Michael from Baxter Springs, Kansas, who is heavily involved in the StarCraft community and also goes by the name of Gravity. Through his accidental discovery of StarCraft, it would eventually change his life and lead him to discover his love for something else that he didn't quite expect. And how did you hear about StarCraft?
Well, it's actually funny. Whenever I was younger, I had actually stumbled into Warcraft 2, and it was on like a demo thing at a store. And I spent a long time actually trying to find that game. And in the middle of trying to find it, I actually stumbled across StarCraft. I played since Brood War. And so a lot of that time, I started just playing into Brood War. And then I had taken a break and actually came back for StarCraft 2. So it was just kind of by accident, but that accident kind of has changed my life. So it's been really cool.
So you start StarCraft 2, you know, during Heart of the Swarm. How did you go about improving? Like, what resources did you use?
Well, I had some friends that were better than me that would give me tips. I went to YouTube a lot and started doing a lot of research on just like builds and stuff like that. And Day 9 was a really big influencer for me back when he was doing his dailies and stuff. And so learning from him, and then, you know, watching like Loco, and some of these like older players. There was actually a Terran player, I don't think he plays anymore, but his name was it was like Fox or something like that, and I just watched a lot of his builds and stuff and just really started getting the improvement down. And then my team has really helped me through as well. So
you mentioned your team. Who's your team?
Right now I play for the Risen community. Right now we have our pro team, which is RNG Pro. But I do a lot of stuff for them. And then also because I cast as well as play, I do events for like Alpha X and stuff like that. So even though my main team is Risen community, I also have a lot of influence with a lot of the other teams and stuff and doing events for them. So
that's awesome. So you're really involved with the StarCraft community and like you're in there.
Oh yeah. I've been casting for, I believe about 2 or 3 years now. And really just within the last year or so have been taking it really seriously. I actually work under, or I'm contracted technically through like WESG. So I do a lot of casting for them. And then, like I said, for Alpha X, I cast, like Alpha Pro Series, which is sponsored by Afrika TV. And, then I also do a lot of the like community casting for like WCS and, you know, some of the newer stuff coming out now. So constantly staying busy.
So you go from being this player and then getting into casting. How did that happen?
Well, our team did a lot of like clan wars and stuff like that. And I had seen some of my friends on the team doing it. And it's something that's always kind of interested me. I've always liked Artosis and Tasteless. I liked the hypeness of it that they would bring. And I was like, you know what? I really want to do that. I've always been kind of a people person and trying to like, not necessarily influence people, but just kind of bring them the excitement. So, I gave it a try and, it was just kind of a like, oh, it's okay. You've never done it before. Just, you know, give it a try. And since then I fell in love with it. And it's just, it's one of those things I love to do. So. It's been awesome.
And is it hard to be a caster?
I don't think it's necessarily hard to be a caster. People do put a lot of emphasis in like overthink it. It's just as long as you kind of know what's going on. And when you start doing a lot of events, you start seeing patterns in what certain players like to do. And it helps you kind of predict what they're going to do. So you can kind of talk about it And sometimes it is, like, especially if you're really tired and some matches where they just seem to drag on, it does get a little bit tough. But overall, I think it's really easy. It's really fun. And if you're a person that likes to commentate or just kind of talk about, like, stuff that's going on, it's really fun. So
is Artos and Tasteless your main source of inspiration? Who else do you draw inspiration from?
They were the big ones that I followed for a long time. In Control was really nice to watch, to see him cast, which, you know, I hate that we've lost him, but just people like that. I think another one is like Roddy and Todd. A lot of the main casters that we have today have really been kind of an inspiration to keep doing it. I actually got to talk with Artosis and in Control, and just some of the encouragement that they've given me was really cool. So,
and what kind of advice did they offer you?
A lot of it was just, don't care what other people think. And like, you know, if you get chosen for an event, don't feel bad because they chose you. And so just kind of giving you that encouragement that don't feel bad, that, you know, so-and-so didn't get in, or don't feel like worried because, you know, it's something new. Just be proud that, you know, you've been chosen for that, and take pride in your craft and to keep practicing.
Wow. That's really awesome, man. Really inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's definitely been a driving force for me to keep going and to keep getting better.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, I look forward to your cast. I hope you make it to a WCS someday if we still have WCSs.
I definitely am hoping to do live events sometime. That would be really nice. So.
Yeah, man. Keep at it. Keep at it, man. Where can people find you at?
You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/gravity620. Or you can find me on Twitter at realgravity620. Right now, I've just recently moved, so I'm like not streaming as much right now. I do still cast and stuff, so I don't have a set schedule right now, but definitely you can find me over there or just hit me up on Twitter. I'm always happy to talk with people. So
that's awesome, man. And anybody you'd like to give a shout out to?
I'd like to get a shout out to Renegade. He's actually an up and comer like me. He's been doing a really good job in casting, and I think he's got what it takes as well. But just anybody that's looking to try to get into casting or just playing in general, don't give up. It's a long process. And you know, you're going to get some frustrations, but as long as you keep at it, keep trying to improve, you're going to do better. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me, and like, you've inspired me.
Well, I appreciate it. That's always been my goal. Like, even in casting, is to inspire people to want to become better, to do better things. And I think that's one of the biggest things I took away from like day 9 stuff, was to help people become not just a better gamer, but a better person in general. So thank you very much for telling me that. It brings joy to my heart. And I hope anybody else listening, it gives you an inspiration to keep doing what you're doing. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate you coming on to the call, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Anytime, man.
All right. Have a good one, man.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
And before we go into our next interview, I'm going to pause here for a minute, because in talking with our next guest, I was really blown away by the comparisons that were made between StarCraft and other well-known games, and I didn't realize the depth of how much StarCraft had to offer. Our next interviewee not only reminds us of how there's always room to improve, but gives us insight into how to break your opponent's brain.
My name is Paul. I'm from Dallas, Texas. My handle is Kilkenny.
How did you first encounter StarCraft?
I first encountered StarCraft in 1998 whenever I bought it on a CD-ROM. I got it and I played it a lot. I played it through Brood War. And I remember I stopped playing for a while and I didn't pick up StarCraft II until I graduated from graduate school. And I promised myself I wouldn't buy StarCraft II until I finished graduate school, because otherwise I would not have finished graduate school.
Wow, I can barely like wait for my Amazon package to arrive and like not open it. Big props to you, man.
thanks. Yeah, no, I knew that would have been a mistake.
And so you go from like StarCraft 1 and to StarCraft 2, mm-hmm. And you know, what is it about this game that you love so much? Like, what is it?
I think it's kind of like chess. It's got this dynamic where you can, there's always so much room to improve. Like if you see people play Tetris, for example, which is a great game. I love Tetris. But you understand how to play Tetris, and it's just about how well can you execute. And there's people who hyper tab. But other than that, everybody pretty much plays Tetris the same. But there are players who play StarCraft entirely differently from each other. And you can play the same race and learn different styles from different gamers. And there's this huge learning curve at every step. If you're playing Protoss and you want to play as, you know, if you want to follow Printf, you know, he plays Protoss differently than anybody else. If you want to follow Florencio, he plays differently than anybody else, you know, and but still successfully.
So you basically love this game because of the complexity and the challenges that come with it.
Yeah, yeah. And you have the ability to put your own personality on it. There's no other game that's quite like that.
And how would you describe your personality when you're playing this game?
Annoying. Yeah. So a lot of players have really great mechanics, and other players have really, you know, great strategy. And my way of playing is to distract my opponent to the point that they make large mistakes and then capitalize on those mistakes. So I'm a big fan of Pig, and I'm in his clan. I'm in Taste the Bacon. And he does a lot of great Twitch videos. And one series that he has is I See Far. I Cast Your Freaking Awesome Replay. And so he'll have a theme, and you follow that theme. And if your game is really good, then he'll pick it and cast it and on his Twitch channel. And so, For example, I had a game the other day that was cast on I See Far where nothing much happened in the first 8 minutes of the game. And then I nuked my opponent four places at once. And what's cool about that is that if you time it just right, the way that the game is structured is you get the nuclear launch detected, you know, sound, right? But if the nukes are close enough to each other, you don't get four separate nuclear launch detected sounds.
Right.
You only get one.
Yeah.
So you're only looking for one nuke. And there's four. and so even if you were good enough to defend all four, to find all four and kill the ghost, you only get one notification, so you don't know how many nukes just fired.
Right.
And then later on in the game, I did it again. Mm-hmm. And so things like that, I'm relying on my opponent not being present enough
right
to deal with whatever's coming. We call it breaking their brain.
Awesome. And any shout outs that you'd like to do?
Oh, I guess I'll throw a shout out to Pig, who I get coaching from. I've gotten coaching from Pig for about a year now. So if he hears this, hi Pig.
Awesome, Paul. Well, it was great talking to you, man. I'm really excited to have this in into the episode. It was really great talking to you.
Yeah, and good luck with the podcast.
Awesome, thank you. All right, it was great talking to you. Bye. Coming up after the break, how one person fell in love with this game and pursues their passion to the esports capital of the world, Seoul, South Korea. Hi everyone. If you're enjoying this podcast so far and would like to keep up with the StarCraft Observer, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and Twitter, where not only will you get updates about the latest episodes, but you also get to see some beautiful StarCraft-related fan art. Once again, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and Twitter. Are you someone who enjoys diving deep into the StarCraft lore? Want to share possible theories on your favorite heroes within the StarCraft universe? If this is you, then you will definitely love the StarCraft lore community, where you'll encounter a bunch of wonderful individuals who dive deep, dissect, discover, and compile information that concerns all things StarCraft. Everyone is welcome and free to join. You can join the Discord by visiting www.thestarcraftobserver.com/lore. The URL again is www.thestarcraftobserver.com/lore. That's /LORE. Welcome back. We left off with Paul from Dallas, Texas, sharing a story of nuking his opponent's bases and how he tries to throw his opponents off by breaking their brain. We'll now be speaking with somebody who's very active in the StarCraft community, on Twitter and on the StarCraft Reddit forums. In speaking with him, we also discover how his love for this game had him pursue his passion all the way to the esports capital of the world, Seoul, South Korea.
My name is Gemini. I am a Protoss player, been around the scene for quite some time, ever since the beginning of Wings Beta and stuff. I've just been doing a lot of different content creation, playing the game, loving it as much as I can, and doing all kinds of stuff.
And when did you first encounter StarCraft?
I was originally introduced by my brother when he was having a Brood War. When he was a kid, I was like super, super young then, and he kind of showed me how to play it. I kind of just toyed around with it. I was always trash at it because I was like, you know, 8 or 9 years old or whatever playing this game.
Yeah.
And so I could only ever really do custom maps. This was my shtick. I literally would make a custom map with infinite, like as many minerals as I can, and then make a ridiculously broken high ground position, and then have a Zerg funnel into my massive amounts of cannons, reavers, or tanks until they died. That was my Brood War, you know, 9-8 year old experience. I looked at my brother as if he, you know, he was like a witchcraft black magic, like, you know, wizard when he showed me that I could put things on a control group instead of selecting everything. I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. That was my OG StarCraft experience. I would just kind of toy with it every now and then. I played a lot of Warcraft 3 customs and stuff like that as well, since we had that too. And then I just kind of picked up StarCraft 2 when it was almost into beta as well.
Yeah, and then you eventually made the decision to pursue it professionally, correct?
Yeah, I did at one point. I did take off from school in 2014 or 2015, and I tried to put my hand in playing professionally full time. Didn't work out, obviously, but it was a cool experience. It was something that I wanted to get off my chest to like just try out to see what would happen. But I mean, ever since it was released in 2010, I've just been like this game has been my life basically. So even if I'm not doing it technically full time, I do it about as full time as anything else will let me. So.
And how did you go about that decision of pursuing it professionally? Was there like, did you have to like sit down somewhere and think about it, or like what was going on through your mind?
It was more so a lingering thought that I've had wanted ever since I started playing. Like ever since I saw the old Artosis videos that he would make with the GSL qualifiers and the team houses and stuff back from, you know, like 2010, 2011, I was just like, I need to do that. Like I need to experience, like that is my life goal.
That's so funny that you brought that up, because yesterday I was looking through some old footage and I came across the Artosis footage that you're talking about, and I was looking at the IM team house and I was just like, oh yeah, what I would give to be there, like just to like experience it all over again.
Yep, the IM house, the FOU house, those videos were super, super inspiring to me. I was like, that is just the coolest fucking thing in the world, that, you know, these players just play a game for a living and just live in this house together and just live, breathe, eat the game. It was super, super cool. And it's still something that I would love to be able to experience, because I've never actually been in a team house. So it was just a lingering thing that I've always wanted to do. And I had to, at some point in my life, pull the trigger, and I needed to see what would happen. So
that's so cool, man. And then like, so you start pursuing it professionally, and then you end up in Korea?
Yep, I'm in Korea.
Was that because of this game?
A large part of me being here is, yes, because of StarCraft. Once I stopped, like I basically went tried to be a pro for a year, and then I went back to school. It was during that time that I also did actually take a step away from it for just a bit. I was still generally following what was happening, but I just wasn't really playing as much as I was. And basically I decided that I was going to be a teacher, through my education. So I kind of generally followed that. And then it wasn't until I did some study abroad stuff in 2017 that I was like, you know what? What if I teach in Korea? That would put me, you know, close to the place that I've always wanted to be. close to the scene that I love. And slowly the thoughts, the lingering thoughts of, you know, I could do it, but maybe it wouldn't be a great idea, they eventually formulated into me just wanting to be here. And now I'm here. And it's sick.
Why do you love StarCraft so much?
So StarCraft, for me personally, is the only thing that I have really connected to in my life for more than, you know, a couple years at a time. You'll have certain things and when you're growing up that you like, you know, I want to be a football player, or I want to, you know, be an artist or something. But it they wax and wane over time. You just have certain things that will be kind of phases in your interest. Mm-hmm. But StarCraft has been something that just has stuck over 10 years at this point. It's something that challenges me. It's something that taught me how to learn. I never knew how to be self-critical or just to improve myself until I started playing StarCraft and learning how to do that through that. It gave me a sense of belonging. I was the alone, you know, depressed kid in high school that just wanted to fit in, you know, mm-hmm. didn't have the big friend group, wanted to be the popular, cool kid in class, but never was. So StarCraft basically gave me that because I found out about the game and the fact that it was coming into beta soon through an old school community site called the SC2 Armory. And I will always be indebted to them because they basically gave me a family to enjoy a game with that I didn't think was possible. So they StarCraft has a lot of meaning to me, more than just playing a game, getting some MMR, and then, you know, getting some feel good chemicals in my brain. It's got a deeper connection for sure.
Thanks, man. Thanks for sticking to the schedule. Thanks for thanks for everything. I really loved your response, man.
Yeah, of course, man. No problem.
All right. Absolutely. Have a good one, man.
Yep, you too, mate.
All right.
Yep.
Bye. Hello, hello.
Hello, am I coming through?
Yeah. Awesome, man. How are you doing?
Oh, not bad. I've liked your stuff, so I'm excited to do something like this.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Can you introduce yourself?
I am Richie Brezina, also known as Subsorian. I am obsessed with the StarCraft lore.
How did you first encounter StarCraft?
I got it when I was 7 back in 1998. My dad had bought the original game. And so, I mean, I was real bad. So I just played the campaign a lot. And I was never particularly good at RTS, but it was the first kind of gritty sci-fi story I had actually dug deep into. So I would play with him I'd play the campaign for years. We had shitty dial-up, so we couldn't actually do any online or anything like that. So I just replay the campaign. And that gradually kind of just evolved into me getting into the books and then me getting into like more of the expanded stuff. So I've been with or following it for a while, and eventually it just spiraled into what I became now, which is very deep in the lore community. So
wow, that's so cool. So wait, so are you the lore guy?
Yeah, I would say so. I've gotten my name in the game because of it. So
wow, like where in the game?
I'm in the Cerberus Overseer description. They have a Rudolfo Subsorian, which is me, and in Manx Calldowns, they reference the character they made. I'm really honored for that. I mostly just run the rookie and complain about lore, so I definitely don't think it's like deserved, but I'm happy they did it.
yeah. I mean, it was through your hard work. You were really doing it because you're passionate about it, essentially.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It is definitely a work of passion. I do love this series, and it's kind of the neglected child anymore of Blizzard, especially now that Diablo's gotten in the forefront. So it's, just got to keep the lore flame alive. That's kind of my goal.
You said you got deep into the lore. How did that happen?
It just kind of like, it was a series I really got attached to. I started getting into the books and then like expanded media around it. And it eventually got to the point where I then started editing the wiki. And now I'm actually the main admin of the StarCraft wiki. So the like fandom one, not the Team Liquid one.
Yeah. So what do you do for like tricky parts of the lore that haven't been expanded. Like, what do you do? Do you have to like reach out to Blizzard to get some more insight?
I've tried. I literally have I go to BlizzCon every year. I have a 14-page document that I've actually shown to the devs, but currently there's really no writer. Like, there's only a few lore people there. But no, so it really, StarCraft isn't as tricky as like you'd expect, because the wiki's goal is mostly to just put out what is there and try not to fill any gaps for you. And for the most part, like, the lore gets a lot of crap for being a little inconsistent, and it can be, but there's not really too many tricky areas. And when we do, we just put a note in like, oh, like, hey, this says this, but it actually says this. And sometimes you got to make a judgment call on like, oh, well, this is this came sooner, or this is from the games and not a book. So just take this one as probably the main source or whatnot.
Wow. Is there council like around this lore?
No, it used to be a few admins. They mostly dropped out. So it's a lot of judgment calls. But really, like, there's kind of just a hierarchy of like, oh, like, as long as you note that this is there's a bit of a contradiction here, just put out the one you think is more like the important, and make sure you note that there might be a bit of a mix up or contradiction. But it really doesn't come up that much, surprisingly.
Why do you love StarCraft?
The thing I love most about StarCraft is the fact that there are so many passionate, like, smaller communities. Like, you have the esports scene, which everyone knows, but you have the arcade scene, the map maker scene, the co-op scene, the lore scene, and you could be in that and just almost insulated from everything else, but everything still kind of interacts and flows with each other. Even if, like, you don't necessarily see it if you're just watching an esports match. But the fact that there are just so many, like, it's a game that's just spawned so many different, separate, passionate communities. It's amazing to see it, at least for me.
Well, thank you very much. And, yeah, thank you for everything, man.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
Bye. Hello, hello.
Good evening.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, things are going all right.
Awesome, awesome, man. Thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it. Can you introduce yourself?
My name is David Japonach. I also go by the name Hyper Turtle, and I run Minnesota Barcraft, also known as MN Barcraft. I did not start Minnesota Barcraft. I started a local LAN group. I also had a Nintendo 3DS Street Pass group.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of riding the whole meetup.com thing.
Right, right.
There was another group who had started Minnesota Barcraft, and one of the people from my LAN group got me to come along, and it was a lot of fun. And it was at the height of this whole thing where there'd actually be sponsors who would donate raffle prizes, things like that. They had a whole movie theater basically where they'd hold like different kinds of events, and that was one of them. They were serving food and themed drinks and stuff. So what happened was, you know, the Barcraft scene kind of started to die out. There wasn't a lot of attendance. And the big problem with the Barcraft is the problem you're going to have with any big event at a bar, and that's that they expect a certain food and drink minimum. And if you can't bring enough people in, then you got to cover the rest of it yourself. So it's pretty risky if you don't know that there's people coming. So they actually gave up the meetup.com account for that, and I jumped in, and they were happy to help me out. I started finding some different businesses like gaming stores, other places where we could just set up and start sort of rebuilding.
And with all this, like, you know, that you've done and, you know, you've encountered because of StarCraft, like, what is it about this game that you love so much?
Well, I mean, I guess it's more than just a game. It's several games all packed into a couple of different titles. You got, you know, got a campaign with these iconic characters. You've got multiplayer that you can play at pretty much any level you want. You've got all these people creating arcade games, maps. You've got a professional scene to follow. You've got these really great personalities that aren't so flooded with fans that they don't notice when you give them a fun comment to play off of. There's books, you know, that you can read, comics, some really great collector's items. So it's one of those things where kind of no matter who you are, I think if you dig a little bit deeper, you know, you're likely to find something that's really fun. And something that can be, you know, really great to just share with other people, whether it's lore, whether it's gaming strategies, whether it's very complicated analyses about what the heck's happened to Blizzard Entertainment. You know, there's always something to talk about, and people love sharing things. Well, if you love something, you love sharing it.
And where could I find Minnesota Barcraft?
Just look up MN for Minnesota, you know, MN Barcraft on Facebook. And there is no invitation needed to join. You can just like it and follow it.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Like, you know, there's not a lot of Barcraft happening, or just like small, intimate, fun events like that. Like, I miss those days. And yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, I think there's a real untapped market when it comes to actually getting gaming fans together in person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's easy to do it on the internet, but it's great to just sit down with people and chat about it. I found like at the mall or something, someone notices you got a StarCraft t-shirt or something. There's a real immediate interest there.
Yeah, yeah.
StarCraft is one of those things where it's big enough to support a very powerful community, but it's not exactly something you hear mentioned on TV all the time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And is there anybody that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Well, you know, my wife, of course, who is currently going by the name Diamondback. Shout out to everyone who's been participating in Minnesota Barcraft and has made me feel so important. And, you know, just to everyone who's got this little connection off of StarCraft 1 and StarCraft 2.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much, and have a great night.
All right. Carry on.
Bye.
And Taro Adun.
My next guest is Murat, who hails from the Netherlands. I encountered him via our Instagram, where we also put out this question. One thing that stood out to me was not only how enthusiastic he was about participating for an interview, but just how young he was. 16 years old. 16 years old and from the Netherlands. Well, what's the big deal, right? Well, for someone this young to be playing this game and loving it for what it is, I was a bit surprised, because years after StarCraft II's release, you still have a younger generation of gamers showing interest in this game. Up until now, I've only encountered people in their mid-20s to mid-30s, which is another reason I wanted to speak to Murat. Hello, hello?
Hello?
Hi.
How are you, Christopher?
Hi, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm fine.
And where are you from?
I'm born in the Netherlands.
And what time is it right now for you?
4 a.m.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no problem. I'm just playing StarCraft all day. It's the vacation in the Netherlands.
What is it about StarCraft that you really enjoy?
It's just the strategies. There are a lot of strategies in this game, not just like a simple shooter game where just kill your enemy. That's also StarCraft, but you can do it at many strategies. You know, go Stargate opener, go a Starport opener, a Battlecruiser opener, a 12-bore or something. So many strategies to kill your opponent. It's just really fun to me.
Wow. And how did you discover StarCraft?
Well, actually, I played on my PlayStation some random games. Never really touched my computer at all.
Right.
And my friend just told me about his brother who plays StarCraft for like 10 years. He gave it a try. So at the end of the day, he suggested me to play StarCraft, and I immediately fell in love.
And was that StarCraft 1 or StarCraft 2?
StarCraft 2.
Did you start during Wings of Liberty, or did you start recently, like during Legacy of the Void?
I literally started like 4 or 5 months ago.
Oh, wow. So you're fresh to the game. That's really cool, man.
Yeah, I'm new.
And what race do you play?
I play Terran. Look at my profile.
I would assume so, but a lot of people love that Terran logo. And you'd be surprised, like, they'd play, like, Zerg or something. But, yeah, when I saw your logo on Discord, I was just like, okay, he might be a Terran player, but he also just might like the logo. What fascinates you about playing Terran?
when I first started opening Darren, you know, StarCraft 2, I just saw a dude in a astronaut costume with a gun. I pressed at the Zerg button and I just got jump scared by that Hydralisk. Then I pressed on the Protoss button and just saw a alien with a laser sword and shit. And I thought, why don't I play the humans? So I played with my friends a little bit and just, you know, Darren is now in my comfort zone. And when I just try Protoss or Zerg, it just feels weird to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is it because you find Zerg scary still?
Nah, I just didn't expect that Hydralisk to jump in my screen.
Yeah, it really, there's something about it that just like pops out at you when you just click on the Zerg, on the Zerg button. It just like pops out of nowhere. Was there anybody that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Yeah, shout out to my friend Cooney Boy.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Murat.
Thank you too.
All right, I'll see you. Bye.
Yeah.
And from the Philippines, a Terran player by the name of Gian. A few months back, before we got the idea for this podcast episode, we posted a general question asking the StarCraft community, when did you first play StarCraft? That was a long time ago. And out of the many responses we got, John was the only one who replied with two photos. One picture was an 8-year-old scruffy-looking John wearing a StarCraft 2 shirt with a StarCraft 2 metal dog tag hanging from around his neck while holding a copy of the first expansion, Wings of Liberty, next to his face making a tough look toward the camera. The second was him 10 years later holding the same exact copy next to his face. That is scruffy looking and kind of giving the game a look of how long have you been following me now? With 10 years of playing and now with 10 years of StarCraft 2. I was really looking forward to speaking with him and getting to know him a bit more. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good.
Let's see. If I remember correctly, on Instagram, there's a picture of you holding that game as a kid.
Well, yeah, that was like 8 or 9.
Wow.
During that time.
And you've played it since then.
Yeah, yeah.
So you fire up this game. What's your reaction?
Well, like, it just felt like amazing because you got to control these large units, like the Thors or Battlecruisers, and controlling these set units just made you felt like you were like a god or something, a commander.
Yeah, like you're in control of your army, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, that's what separates StarCraft from like MOBAs, like Dota or League of Legends. You control all your army, and it's all entirely on you.
And what was it about this game that you loved so much that you kept playing it since you were a kid?
Well, since I favorite Terran, I love the idea of like humans as like space marines or controlling mech. That was like really eye-catching for me during that time. And just the idea of controlling the Terran as like the static defense was a really amazing idea.
So is there anybody that you wanted to give a shout out to?
I actually don't know. My girlfriend or something.
What would you like to say?
I'm in a fucking podcast. Hello.
Awesome, John. Thank you so much, man.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
All right, have a good one, man.
Yeah.
Right, bye. This is just one of many episodes to come, and in future episodes, we'll sit down and speak to people individually from the community, where not only do we get to know them a little bit better, but we get to find out what events in their lives led them to StarCraft and how, for some, it saved them. And who would have thought that 22 years later, since the time of making this episode, StarCraft would still have such a huge influence? It's amazing. And one last thing we want to ask all of you listeners right now. What should we name this segment? Send us your replies on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and wherever you follow the StarCraft Observer. Thank you once again to all those who participated in episode 1. Without you, none of this would have been possible. Editing, music, and production was done by your host, Christopher Lopez. Once again, you can follow the StarCraft Observer on Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, or on Facebook. Outro music by the talented Tell of Angel. Head on over to their Bandcamp or YouTube. You can also find Tell of Angel on Spotify. More details about Tell of Angel in the podcast show notes. Until next time, friends, thank you very much.